Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Breaking news here on 99FM ESPN, powered by Radio.com Sports, brought to you by the 2019 Mercedes-Benz A-Class. I yield the floor, of course, to Mr. Giannotto now.
The Memphis Grizzlies, literally just got this email, have announced Taylor Jenkins' assistant coaching staff.
All right.
For his first year.
Is it completed?
It appears to be completed,
right.
And it includes Niel Ivey.
So I think it's Niel.
Niel Ivey from Notre Dame, the Notre Dame women's basketball assistant coach. She's the first one listed on here, actually.
If Miss Ivey...
Although it appears to be in alphabetical order.
If Coach Ivey is listening, please do not take offense to that. Mark basically butchers just about any name that's beyond two syllables. Continue. Yes.
Brad Jones, Memphis Hustle head coach.
Correct.
From last year, a guy who had worked with Taylor Jenkins in the past. David McClure, the player development coach from the Indiana Pacers. It had been reported, I guess, a couple weeks ago that he was going to join the staff.
Duke grad as well.
Duke grad. James Scooney Penn.
Ooh.
Remember Scooney Penn from Ohio State?
I do.
Basketball.
He was like the original Aaron Kraft, where I feel like he was in college for like 10 years.
He was he spent the past two seasons as the director of player development at Ohio State. He was Big Ten Player of the Year in 1999. I think led them to him and Michael Redd, I believe.
Oh, yeah.
Led Ohio State to the Final Four one year. Vitaly Potapenko, who was on the staff last year, big man coach. And Nevin Spahija. Spahi?
I would love to. Apparently, either the internet's not working or my Wi-Fi is not working. I would love to sit here, but I cannot even.
By the way,
my
did
email.
You know Vitaly Potapenko in this release? Apparently, his nickname was the Ukraine Train.
No, but that's a...
I would have been calling him that all last year if I had known that.
Well, why didn't you just play it off like we came up with it? That could have been our nickname.
So Spahija, if that's how you pronounce his name, Nevin Spahija, has three seasons of NBA coaching experience with the Hawks. So he has he coached alongside Taylor Jenkins.
So was he there with the Budenholzer?
Yes.
The Budenholzer,
yes.
Era?
2014 to 17. And then Jason March has been named the new head coach of the Memphis Hustle in the G League. So that is your staff. March has been with, he's a graduate of Florida State, spent nine seasons in Memphis previously, 07 to 2016, including two seasons as an assistant coach and advanced scout for the Grizzlies. So he's an Olive Branch, Mississippi resident. So interesting staff there. You've got a female assistant.
Okay.
You've got a former G League head coach in Brad Jones. You've got a Duke graduate in David McClure, who's like known as a very good player development guy with the Pacers previously.
Correct.
You've got Scooney Penn, who is...
I meant to ask you this. Is Scooney going to be a bench role, or is it player development role?
It just says Taylor. It says...
Does it say as an assistant?
His assistant coach.
Okay, so yes that is a bit... Bigger one. That will be a bench role then.
Yes. And then Vitaly Potapenko and Nevin Spahija.
The Ukraine Train.
The Ukraine Train.
Thank you.
Vitaly Potapenko and Nevin Spahija. First glance, interesting staff in terms of makeup. I am a little concerned. I've been saying this for a couple times already. I'm concerned that the only person with head coaching experience on this staff is Brad Jones, and it's at the G League level. There is not anyone with any sort of... I mean, even there's not even like an old school, long time assistant.
Like a college head coach that's coming up to the NBA.
It's very slim on experience.
See, this is where I go back and forth, because I do agree it does help, I think, to have the mentor that can kind of guide you along the process of when you're, especially in a situation like next year where the wins and losses don't particularly matter all that much. It would help to kind of have the voice. But at the same time, if the options were between getting someone that had a player development resume versus an experience resume, I care way more about development with this group right now.
Yes. Well, to your point, you can always add that guy next year. Like,
sure.
You know, like going in, if for instance, this year goes great and you're wondering, oh, well, maybe we can take the next step next year, then you can bring in that guy next year. It's just, you know, it's going to be interesting. A rookie head coach with a staff that, you know, quite frankly, just how many of those guys have really been in any sort of decision-making role on an NBA bench? Like, even as like a, I don't think any of these guys, maybe Brad Jones, but like none of these guys have even really been lead assistants.
No, and to the other point that we kind of discussed at the end of last week, further, other than Jonas Valanciunas, I guess you can say Jay Crowder, and then Kyle Anderson to an extent.
He's 25, and he's like the third oldest guy on the team, probably.
That's your kind of veteran presence. I guess the guy that fits the most is Jonas Valanciunas, because Jonas did agree. Like, Jonas knew what next year was going to be. He knew it was going to be a rebuild, and he elected to...
Well, and that's the other thing. Like, you say Jay Crowder, but, like, really,
I mean,
if things go well,
Jay
Crowder's not going to be here at the end of the year. And Jonas Valanciunas, I believe, is, what, 28, 27?
I think
27.
Yeah.
Yeah, he just turned 27.
It's a well-worn 27.
Yeah. Yeah. But, no, it's just going to be really young.
Time out. We forgot to mention this last week. So, as you pointed out, the new ferocious bear on the alternate court.
Dangerous
bear. Again, potato, potato. There's no question, much more menacing-looking bear, much more threatening, if you will. Does that mean that Jonas now, does he get extra money if he goes back into the old-school mascot? Like, now we talked about how he can double up as the actual embodiment of a bear, could perhaps have Grizz on the IR.
I feel like happy Jonas is like new Grizz.
That's
and
a fair
angry
point.
Jonas is old Grizz.
Yeah, and then we can have a nice tie-in. You don't want to see Jonas when he's angry.
You don't want to see old Grizz come out.
That's a good point.
Yeah, so it's going to be a fascinating year for the Grizzlies. It's going to be, I mean, to your point, it's going to be the first year in a long time where their success is not going to be defined by how many games they win.
No, their success...
Ultimately, like we're talking about, oh, they don't have this experience on the staff. Ultimately, if they win 20 games, but Ja Morant is first-team all-rookie and... Jaren Jackson Jr. averages 20-10, successful year.
There's no question.
It doesn't matter how many games you win. If those two things bear out, it doesn't. Honestly, a lot of the other stuff doesn't matter.
I think their entire report card next year, I think, is just an eye test. Wouldn't you agree? Like, in general, it's just do the young guys, like for instance, I guess this is the question. Does Ja Morant have to make the all-rookie team for next year to be a success? Do you think that...
I think that's part of it, yeah. I mean, I would hope he's one of the five best rookies in the league next year. I would hope. He's number two pick in the draft, in a weak draft, what is considered a weak draft. I would hope he's one of the five best, yeah. I think that's part of being successful.
I think that's probably.
I'm not saying he has to win Rookie of the Year.
No, because that's.
But
too-
like, I would hope he's one of the. I would hope he's in the All Star game, the Rookie Challenge, and I would hope he makes first team all rookie, just like Jaren Jackson Jr. did.
By the way, someone else, we got to get Scoonie Penn's picture on his Wikipedia page. Like, literally, looks like it was taken by someone that was like a private investigator that was spying on him. Like that's like it's taken from what appears to be the highest point in a basketball arena.
And it looks like it was by a flip phone.
Yes, I was going to say, it looked like it was like the very first iPhone.
So hopefully he'll be in Memphis soon for a new headshot.
I didn't realize this. Completely did not know that he started at BC. He finished at Ohio State, but he started at BC. Yeah,
he's from Massachusetts, I believe.
He is from Salem, Mass. Who knew?
He's a witch.
That is, well, you nailed it, though. He was on that team with Michael Redd.
Yeah, oh, I remember it.
Yeah.
I remember
Scoonie
that
Penn
team.
Did have like an,
and they did. They lost to Michigan State. I was at a bar mitzvah, and I was that kid. Even in 1999, so I was 13 years old. Someone scheduled a bar mitzvah on Final Four Saturday, and so I was at the party.
That's a tough break.
But I found, and it was like a close friend, and so I had to go.
Ugh.
But I found a TV, and the reception was at the synagogue. And I found a TV at the synagogue. I was in some back room watching the Final Four during instead of playing Coke and Pepsi at the bar mitzvah.
Isn't this one of those nice moments where you realize, had you put like all your resourcefulness into like the amount of effort that particularly like 13-year-old me would have spent to get out of whatever he was doing to try and watch something, or just like that kind of resourcefulness. Like if I could have put that to something useful, I feel like I would have way more money than I do now. But instead, like I spent my entire high school existence trying to figure out how to turn a 5-page paper into 4.5. And I felt like I spent every party I went to basically after the age of 12. I tried to figure out where the TV situation was.
Yeah.
Now, I did make great friends with the parents' dad. Like, all the dads that were clearly having to host the party and weren't happy about it, those guys loved me.
I mean, that's always crucial. I remember I had my engagement party.
Yeah.
It was divisional playoff day. It was the game, I want to say it was 2014. It was whenever the Patriots and Ravens had that epic playoff game recently.
Yes, that was, I think it was the 13. Because it was a 13 play. Or is it the one that the Ravens won or lost?
I believe they lost.
Okay, right? So the one where Harbaugh complained about the illegal formations,
yes,
and whatnot?
Yes, yes.
I think you're right. I think that was 2014.
Yes. Well, so we had this room at this restaurant rented out, but it had glass windows. So the entire night, because, you know, it was my engagement party, so I had to, like, I couldn't walk over to the bar like some of the other people.
That sounds more like a challenge to me.
But No. It had all glass windows around this room. And so I positioned myself the entire night so that I was facing the TVs in the bar.
I like that. That's smart. That's thinking
ahead.
So
I wasn't getting sound, but I was multitasking. It'd be like, someone would be like, "Oh, congratulations." I'd be like, looking away, yeah, shaking their hands.
Hold on, it's third down.
Congratulations. Yeah.
Like, third and eight, Flacco. Damn you.
But no, so two other things before we move on to something else with this coaching staff we should point out. So one, Niel Ivey, first female coach in Grizzlies history. They had some like operation assistants last year. But first female assistant coach in Memphis Grizzlies history. I think that's notable.
Shout out to Neil.
And two, Michael Wallace of Grind City Media has tweeted since then. His understanding is there's not a traditional hierarchy or pecking order among the primary assistants, but it appears Brad Jones, Dave McClure, the guy from Indiana, and Nevin Spahija are set in more leadership roles. And so they're the three top guys in terms of the
assistant
coaches.
What about the Ukraine train?
It appears Ukraine train is secondary. It's more of a caboose, if you will.
Well, someone's got to – listen, maybe it's a train that's powered from the rear. You know what I mean? Like you get one of those
back-wheel drive. It's back-wheel drive?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well –
We have to push the Ukraine train.
Yeah, I know we do. Like, I don't understand why he hasn't been promoted like that.
Like, that nickname alone should at least get you second seat.
It's a pretty good nickname, Ukraine train. I mean, I'm going to call him that from now on.
I can't get it out of my head. It's fantastic.
Vitaly Potapenko, Ukraine train.
It makes me think of that Seinfeld episode with when they're playing.
Oh, my God.
Risk.
He looks
Ukraine that week.
He looks like a Bond villain, too, guys. Like, he. Remember when we were all, like, fired up about Yasikaivich? Because, like, we were just thinking, like, well, what's the best way to motivate players? Like, legitimately have them scared for their lives? Like, maybe that way they won't miss a switch on the defensive end. I think Nevin fills that role.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.